Well, last week I spoke about the purpose of the church, the purpose of church improving the year is to glorify God. I explained how that works in that when you believe Christ died for your sins, your sins were forgiven by God. The angels and demons, they see God save a person from their sin that doesn't deserve to be saved, and they praise God for his loving kindness and his mercy in sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin in your place. So when you believe Christ died for your sin, and God gets glorified that he's a saving of the sinner, and he's personally included you in Christ. When God sent Christ to die for your sin, and God sent Christ to purchase the church with his blood, when God sent Christ to do that, he did it because of his love for you. Individually, he included you in what Christ did. He chose you because of his love for you. And the angels see that transaction, the day that you believe, the day each person believes, the angels see them get transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. When they see that happen, they praise God for his loving kindness and forgiveness, and that doesn't deserve to be saved, but who God chooses to save anyway. When you're a Christian, God still gets glory in the church, because when Satan comes to you and says you're unrighteous because of what you did, or he doesn't just point out the bad things that he says you did, he points out the good things that you could have done, he says, that you didn't do. And Satan condemns you, says your righteousness lacks compared to God. Then, when you say no, you don't agree with that, you stand upon the righteousness of God, you trust that God has made you righteous. When you say no, and you trust in the word of God that he's made you righteous, you trust in God. Your stance in the earth is in trusting God against the word of Satan, for the word of God, that God has declared you righteous by your faith in Christ. Then again, the angels see that, God gets the glory. I said there's an exceptional way in which God can be glorified through his church, and that is that he can let members of his church, or his church as a whole in an area, suffer persecution, suffer tribulation, a time of hard pressing of the flesh, where the flesh, Satan tries to make the flesh feel not nice. So that if God allows that to happen, it's only for a short time. But he has his purpose in that there's individual members of the church, and the church, or the church and the church as a whole, stand against Satan, then again, they're standing. These members of the church, they trust God to deliver them from that persecution, from that hard pressing, from that attack by Satan. And God gets extra glory through that. Right, I want to read out a bit of what Paul says to the Corinthians. Yeah, Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Right, so Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive a reward for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Okay, so this judgment seat that he talks about is from the Greek word bema, and that's the same judgment seat as when athletes competed, and they get presented with their trophies at the end of races. It's the same word used for that. So it's a reward seat. So the judgment seat that a Christian, so it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But it's a judgment, that's a reward judgment. Okay? But he says, to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad, okay? He's speaking to the church, so it's reasonable to assume that this thing is the church. But then he can also speak about what he wants. And then he defines what he's speaking about. And he says, "For we know the terror of the Lord." And then he said, that's why it says, He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Like, that was his particular way of putting it, but what he's saying is, he's defining what he means, and he's saying, if he knows the terror of God, he's already made it quite clear that Christians are at peace with God, so he's not talking about Christians, he's speaking about terror of God towards people. He's not talking about Christians because Christians are at peace with God. But he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, he seeks to persuade men. So what he's saying is, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done and reward for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, that's why he goes and preaches the gospel. So what he's saying is, the bad rewards, the people, are not Christians. And he says, therefore, that's why, he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, that's why he goes out and tells people that Christ died for their sins, because he knows he doesn't want them to get this bad reward. Because according to what he said to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. What somebody earns from sinning against God is death. So they will receive a reward, a wages, when they die. Paul says in this case it's a bad reward. He doesn't want people that aren't Christians to receive a bad reward. That is why he goes out and he tells people the gospel, because he wants to swap their bad reward for a good reward. So when Paul says, well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad, what he's saying is we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body. If a person is a Christian, the reward will be good. If a person is not a Christian, the reward will be bad. So I said, when you believe Christ died for your sins, you get your sins forgiven. The point you get your sins forgiven is a whole load of wrath, anger of God, is stored up for you as punishment for your sin, which Satan wanted to exact punishment for you when you die. Well, God saves you from that punishment. You escape the wrath of God. So Paul says a bad judgment, people that die without having their sins forgiven receive a bad reward from Christ, which is get cast out of the presence of God and get punished by Satan for their sin. However, it also says the Christian will receive a good reward for the things done in their body. Okay. That was a different passage in the first book of Corinthians. And Paul says, in that book, he says he's been a master builder, and he says no one can build upon any other foundation that he's laid, that is Christ, which is the gospel that I've taught you. He said, be careful how you build. He said, you can build with wood, hay, straw, precious stones, gold or silver. And he says, your work will be tested by the fire. And then he says, if nothing's left after the fire, you'll still be saved, but as one escaping from the fire. So what he's saying is, he says, you can build with wood, hay or straw, or precious gold, or precious stones, silver, and gold. He said, your work will be tested by the fire to see what type of work it is. Now what he means is, as you go around in your life, you can try to do good stuff for God, which I've already told you is pointless regarding your salvation and regarding your righteousness. It doesn't add to your righteousness. There's no point doing it. But Paul said that when you do stand upon the righteousness of God and you glorify God, and God works in you like to stand upon his righteousness, then you glorify God then, but you will also get a reward when you die that's linked to you standing upon the righteousness of God. So Paul's saying, the only other verse is that it says that the 12 apostles in the book of Revelation by John, they will receive crowns, but they will cast their crowns before Christ's feet. They will receive crowns for the works, not that they did, but that God did in them. They can't do any more work than the work that God did in them, because God already planted it in them. So basically, God gives them a crown for the work that he does in them, that was nothing to do with them. They get the crown, and then they go, yeah, but you did all the work. So they cast the crown at Jesus' feet, which makes sense, because they go, yeah, thank you very much for this crown you give, but we're constantly all the work that you did through us in proclaiming your gospel and standing against Satan when we were on earth, that you'll give very kindly given us the crown for as a reward for what we did, for being under the grace of God good and faithful servants, only able to be good and faithful servants because God worked that good and faithfulness in them. They say, thank you very much for the crown, but we acknowledge that all the stuff that we did was because you did it in us. It completely came from you, therefore you rightly deserve the crown, and they cast it back. So Paul says that you can either build that reward using wood, hay, straw, or precious stones, silver and gold. Now, wood and hay and straw are just natural things, and if they're exposed to the fire, they're just burnt. Precious stones, silver and metal, however, if they're exposed to the fire, the fire doesn't do anything to them, they don't get destroyed. So basically, Paul says, there's some stuff that you can do where you can spend 5 years, 6 years doing stuff, and it's all your idea, and it's nothing to do with God, and you can do these massive straw structures, these massive log cabins, huge log cabins. You can employ 1,000 people to build your log cabins and your vision. But it will be tested at the end of the day when you die by a fire. And it doesn't matter how big your structure is that you build, if it's not of God working in you, nothing's going to stand. And Paul said, you'll still get saved, but only saved with nothing left. He said, however, you can build with wood, you can build, you can work, you can do the work, you can walk according to the Holy Spirit in standing against Satan, in standing upon the righteousness of God, in moving as your part of the body, standing against Satan, the way the Holy Spirit moves you, and in doing that, in walking according to the Spirit, which the Spirit makes you do, Paul says you can build as you go along, just by walking according to the Spirit, with God, with the only thing happening as God working in you. You can build with precious stones, silver and gold. So I want to just talk about precious stones, silver and gold now. All precious stones are formed under massive pressure. So they're just basically just coal, diamonds, just coal, but massive pressure on the coal. It's so intense that it just becomes a diamond. So it seems to me quite reasonable to say that when God lets a person go through a trial, you know, as I said, it's an honour for that person to go through the trial, which is why Paul said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face persecution. And he wasn't just being a super holy, trying to be a super holy Christian. There's something anyway. He did actually think great. And it's because God gave him the honour of standing extra against Satan. And it seems to me that if God allows a Christian to go through an extra time of tribulation, then in that time they're hard pressed, their flesh gets killed, their strength gets killed. But what happens is they find the only way is to trust God, and God makes them stand firstly upon his righteousness, secondly just trust in him regarding sustaining that, and God gets the glory for that thing. It seems to me that the rewards that come from God getting the glory in that particular circumstance for a Christian, they're the precious stones, because they're only formed under intense pressure. So they're the precious stones. It seems to me the gold and silver, I just have to say what I think. It seems to me the silver represents the standing upon and the preaching of God's redemptive work in the cross, all the stuff that's to do with Christ, what he did on the cross, if that stood upon, trusted, because if it stood upon and trusted, the angels see, and it gets proclaimed to them by a person's action, what's that person doing? They're trusting that their righteousness instead of trying to get their own righteousness. So it's proclaimed by your body anyway. Or the direct preaching or teaching of all the stuff to do with Christ, that is silver. It's like, again, silver is found in the ground. It's not natural, as in above the ground in the analogy, but it seems the silver stuff is just to do with Christ, and it seems that quite often the gold stuff is just to do with, you know, God's just praised as God. So if you stand upon, if in those times you're hard pressed, you stand upon God's promise as a father, as a Lord God to be your provider. You stand upon that, you proclaim your body, that you trust God to provide for you. That is trusting God's name, that he's not a liar, that he's holy, that he provides for his sons and daughters. Trust in the character of God, that he won't let you go hungry, that he'll look after you. You trust in the goldness of the king, in the king's treasure. You trust in his massive storehouse to provide you. And he provides for you. And if that's preached or taught or declared, again, that seems, if you stand upon it or you declare it in your part, then that is the gold. So it seems to me that the purpose of the church in the earth is to glorify God. And then when you glorify God by standing upon the righteousness of God, primarily stand upon the righteousness of God, secondarily, standing on the righteousness of God, the promises of God, that he's a provider, the promise of God, he'll look after you, he'll protect you, all those things. You trust in God when he lets you go through time of being hard pressed, you stand against Satan, actually do not listen to Satan, you trust God in those promises that I've said, then they're the gold, silver and the precious stones. And if you trust in God in those ways, to stand upon the righteousness of God in those things, in those ways, then you glorify God, but it also builds up an account of your reward, and you know that total crown, that total reward, the crown for the apostles, that total crown for the apostles, the total reward is given to you as an individual member of the church. And when you die, and so that is the explanation of Paul said there is a good reward for a Christian. That is it. He says, how that reward, he says, what makes up that reward? Well, part of, like I started off saying, there ain't no point in building with wood, hay and straw. Absolutely no point. It's just waste of a man's time, waste of a woman's time. It can be a really fancy little cabin with thousands of people. It can be a whole city. But it will get tested by the fire. And there can be nothing left for people who seek to please God in their own way. So it's not only, so those things which are called works by Paul, they're pointless for salvation, they're pointless for the righteousness of God. I've already said, you're saved by your faith, you're righteous by your faith. Also regarding what Paul said as a reward, they're absolutely pointless for that. They will not last. The only thing that will last, it will be, the only thing that will be included in your reward is what God wants to do in you. It's got to come from him working out in you. And the way for you to be a part of God working in you, first of all, is to acknowledge he is sovereign. You cannot miss God's plan for you. You can't mess it up, right? God will do his plan in you in the next year. He will absolutely do it, and you cannot miss it. You're not on your second, third, fourth best life because of bad decisions you've made. You are on your first, because you cannot miss God's plan for you in the next year, because he is sovereign, he is king, he is bigger than you making a mistake and falling to your second best life. It's just not true. You're on your first best life. Like, this is, you are exactly where you were meant to be. Like, you God is completely sovereign over all the stuff that's happened to you in the last year. All the stuff happened to you last year. God is completely sovereign. You are exactly where you're meant to be. And God will, according, I'm just going to read out what it says, Paul said to the Philippians, right? He said, Paul said to the Philippians, he said, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, for it is God that works in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose." And Paul says God works in you to will and to work. God works in you not only to do stuff, God works in you to want to do stuff. So he's got the whole thing covered. So God works in you according to his good purpose. God has worked in you and God will work in you. And you do not, the only thing that Paul encourages you to not do is to put yourself under the law and to try to please God. He says if you don't put yourself under the law, God will outwork his desires for what he wants you to do, and he will bring them to fruition, and he will outwork his complete actions that he wants you to do. And each of you individually is a part of the body, and God has his plans for you to stand against Satan and the righteousness of God in your own part, but also in your part of the body, God has his plans for, in that respect, for you to stand against Satan, and to, in that respect, you do the things that he wants you to do in your part of the body. God has got his plans for you, and God will work them out in you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul said, God will work in you both to will and to work. God will work in you individually to want to do the stuff he wants you to do, and to do the stuff he wants you to do. And Paul said, the only thing that you can do to mess that up is to try to please God yourself, which is works, and that only produces buildings of wood, hay, and straw. Paul said, God will work in you. He knows your name, he has a plan for you, he has a plan for you to stand in his righteousness, he has a plan for you to stand in your part of the body. God has things that he wants you to do regarding standing in the righteousness of God, standing and trusting God as provider for you. God will outwork those things in you in the next year. But I will outwork those things in you according to his plan. You can't make him go any faster. You, in his sovereignty, you can't make him go slower. And I want to read out what Paul said to the Ephesians. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The grace, the power by which God works in you is according to the measure of Christ. According to the size of God's working in you, it's already been determined by Christ. You can't make any more, you can't increase that measure. And you can't make that measure any lower. God has already decided how he wants to work in you in the way that I've said, and God will do it. And you can trust God to work in you. The default setting in you, of course, said, for the law and the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit works in you and outputs his fruit in you and helps you walk according to standing in the righteousness of God, standing against Satan, doing the things according to what I've said. The Holy Spirit outworks those things in you as a law. Satan's attack on you is to try to get you to take matters into your own hands, to produce your own fruit. And Paul said, that's when you produce wood, hay, and straw. But you don't need to be concerned about that. Paul doesn't ask you to do an active thing in standing against Satan. He says, don't do a work of trying to do it yourself. He says, for God works in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. All right. That's done.